scripture lesson today is the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Let's pray together one more time. Father, the great mysteries of what we believe and what we receive, well, they're only clear by your Spirit. And so I simply ask that your Spirit would be among us and that you would take the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and make them pleasing and acceptable in your sight, because you are my rock and my redeemer, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that you and I are called to do is to be Jesus to people. And that is a difficult proposition because, first and foremost, we are not sure how to do that. The technical term for that is incarnational ministry. In other words, Jesus comes in our hands, in our feet, in our mouths, and our attitudes. Maybe an example would help. It's Christmas Eve at the 11 o'clock service in a church in New York City. One of the people coming in was a recovering alcoholic. He had been 6 months sober. And he slips into the row. This was the first Christmas since having lost his family. And two rows in front of him sits a new family of four. Seeing them together, oh, it was a crushing experience for him. And he suddenly had to get out. He needed a drink. He couldn't handle it. As he moves from the sanctuary out to the front door, he ran into the pastor. And the pastor says, "Jim, where are you going?" And Jim said, "I'm going to go out for a drink." He says, "You can't do that. You can't do that. You're a recovering alcoholic. Where's your sponsor?" He says, "It's Christmas. My sponsor is out in Minnesota. There's nobody who can help me. I just came for a word of hope tonight, and I ended up sitting behind a family. You know, if I had my life together, I'd be there with my wife and with my kids." Well, the pastor took Jim and took him out to a couple other people, a couple other pastors, and then he walks back into the sanctuary. He'd been giving an announcement. And as he's sitting there, he says, "Oh, Jesus, what can I do? What can I do?" And he gives up and he says, "I have an announcement. If anyone here tonight is a friend of Bill Wilson, and if you are, you'll know it, could you step out for a moment and meet me in the front entry?" Bill Wilson, known better as Bill W., is the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. And from all over the sanctuary, women and men and college students rose, and they made their way out. And while he was preaching in the sanctuary about the Word becoming flesh, somebody was seeing Jesus surrounding him and experiencing hope. He experienced the hope of Jesus through people who had been touched by him and in whom he lived. You see, maybe we can understand the incarnation of Jesus, that Jesus is fully God and fully human, if we begin to understand what Jesus expects of us. He expects that living in us, remember, Paul talks a lot about being in Christ and Christ in us, having a union that almost defies description. And so it means that you and I live as visible expressions of Jesus to those around us. We become literally what the word Christian means, little Christs. But that wouldn't be possible had not the incarnation happened in the first place. We believe that Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary to become the most unique human being on the face of the earth, both fully human and fully God. Because if that were not true, we would have no hope. If that were not true, we would have nothing. The Bible speaks of this reality repeatedly. Probably the best known verse is John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I like the way Eugene Peterson has it in The Message. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." And then there's that hymn we talked a little bit about last week. That hymn that's found in Philippians chapter 2. That hymn that said, "Who being the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." If you talk about Jesus, you have to talk about the reality that He is fully God and fully human. It has to be the essence. This is the essence of who Jesus is. This is the essence of what we talk about. He is the Son of God and the Son of Mary. It's more than His identity. It has to do with what He is, not just who He is and why He is. He is human. He is God. And without that, there would be no hope, no redemption, no resurrection. And amazingly enough, it all began with a greeting. Have you ever thought at this encounter that Luke is giving to us in his gospel, what an amazing thing this is? All the universe is hinged on the response of a 15-year-old girl. Here she is in the city of Nazareth, a village, 300 people, hamlet, wide spot in the road. Normally we hear this at Christmas time, but we're going to take it a text out of time. Oh, by the way, you only have 87 more shopping days until Christmas. Just thought I'd tell you. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. Isn't it amazing that God didn't send a prophet? He sent one of the archangels. He sends Gabriel to Nazareth, a small town made up primarily of family members, who's, I mean, literally, we're talking about, I mean, a wide spot in the road. And to a virgin. That word is used 3 times in this text. That's how important it is. A virgin, a virgin, a virgin. Pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. That whole thing. I've talked to you before, the wedding language that Jesus talks. Jesus talks about it in John chapter 14, where he says, "I go and prepare a place for you, and when I have prepared a place, I will come back and take you to be with me in order that where I am, you may be also." That's wedding language. Because when if I had been in Palestine, or I'd been in Galilee, when I was courting Susie, I would have gone to her father. I would have, you know, two cows and a goat. I would have gotten her. Hey, she's a 2-cow and a goat girl, man. And then I would have gone home and started to build my house. And however long it took me, that's how long our engagement was. And when I had prepared a place, I would go to her and take her back. And that's the wedding ceremony, me taking her home, complete with parades and horns and breaking things, and having a great time and a celebration. Well, you see, that's what he was pledged. And so Joseph is home, making his house. And he is, and she is a descendant, or he is a descendant of David. Very important. Because Jesus is to be of the house, the family, and the line of David. Because that's where the Messiah comes from. If you look back at Samuel, 2 Samuel 7:14, this is the promise that God made and said, I'm going to bring you a Savior, and he's going to be from the house of David, and his kingdom will have no end. Well, this is Jesus. And the virgin's name was Mary. Can you imagine? She went from anonymity to notoriety, world-renowned, historic-renowned in a day. And Gabriel comes to her. I don't know how you're normally greeted when somebody comes to your house, UPS or someone. Does somebody come to your house and say, hail to you, O highly favored, the Lord is with you? When's the last time somebody knocked on your door and said that? Well, here's Angel Gabriel. Hail to you. Greetings. Actually, it means grace to you. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And she, being a good girl, was greatly troubled at his words, going, I have no... First and foremost, you're troubled by the angelic visit. This is Gabriel. He doesn't come quietly. He comes bright, powerful. He's there in your house. These are small homes. These are little homes. You do most things outside. So she comes, and he meets her. And he greets her. And she has no idea what kind of greeting this might be. But then he says to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You have been chosen. You are the one God has decided. Here's the deal. You're going to be with child. You will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will not end. He goes, here's the story of salvation. You're the chosen one. You're it. Let's do it. Can you imagine? How would your mind process all of that? First and foremost, he comes up to her and says, first of all, you have found favor with God. You're going to be pregnant. Can you imagine somebody coming to your house and saying to you, Sue, you're going to be pregnant. You're going, I don't think so. Not good news in my neighborhood. Is it? Do you ever get the idea God just sort of gets giggles over that? Do you remember the first one he did this with? Sarah, 90 years old. 90 years old. Hey, you're going to have a child. Yeah, think about that. Yeah, really? Who's doing the 3 o'clock feeding? I'm not. Now think about that. You know, I mean, I'm 57. I'm thinking, oh, man, no way. No, 90 years old. And she goes, ha-ha, I get this pleasure now? You know, and then Hannah, and now you've got Mary, and this thing, it's almost like God says, you're going to be pregnant, you're going to give birth to it. By the way, I'm going to tell you what the kid's name is. The kid's name's going to be, and we all think it's Jesus, but in Hebrew it's Yeshua. And the name Yeshua stands for Yahweh saves. And here's the name. Here's the child. Your child is going to be the redemption, the hope, and the promise of Israel. You are going to have the Messiah. You're going to have the anointed one. You're going to have the one everyone has been waiting for. And he's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. That was one of their names for God. And he's going to have the throne of David, and he's going to reign over everything. In other words, he is going to be the very child of God. He's going to be the child of God. And I love Mary's response. Look what it says in verse number 34. And Mary's only question is, how can this be since I am a virgin? She has a wonderful understanding of biology. It takes two. Not one, two. And she's only a one. And there is no other two until she gets married, and that hasn't happened yet. And how is this going to be since I am a virgin? I have not known a man. It violates all the rules I have ever heard. How is this going to happen? And then verse 35. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One born of you will be called the very Son of God. The angel says and never explains, which I'm good with. We don't know. Here's one of the things about theology and about the acts of God. A lot of this, we just don't know. How did it happen? We don't know. We just know that it did. All we do is know is that the Holy Spirit came upon her. The power of the Most High overshadowed her, whatever that means. All of a sudden, God spoke the universe into being. He can kind of handle this. Let her be pregnant. There it is. But it wasn't just anything. It was God gave his essence to her. He put himself in her womb. That is the Son of God. Jesus is fully God, fully human. Can you imagine? He became everything for us. Now, we talk about born of the Virgin, and we sometimes beat on that, and you're wondering, what's the big deal? The reason we do that is simply this. There is no question of who his Father is. If you're born of a virgin, it has to be the Immaculate Conception. It has to be the miraculous act of God. It has to be, and therefore there is no question as to the nature and the identity of who Jesus is, because the virgin birth means that this was God's act and no one else's. This was God's act and no one else's. And this Jesus is the very Son of God. He talks about this. Remember when he was 12 and he hung out in Jerusalem when mom and dad went back home? He remained behind and he's sitting there and he's confounding them in this theological debate. He's dealing with the Pharisees and he's dealing with the teachers of the law. And he sits there and mom and dad go, hey, what's the deal? And he goes, don't you know that I'm supposed to be about my Father's work? He said he knew who he was. In John chapter 8, he's in an argument with people, and they're holding up Father Abraham, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. He doesn't use I am. What's the word I am stand for? God's name. Exodus 3:14. Yahweh. Before Abraham was Yahweh, which is why everyone got angry. He was claiming he was God. He was simply telling the truth. He's saying, this is who I am. And Mary goes, how can I do this? And the Holy Spirit answers. You're going to have the Holy Spirit come upon you, and the Most High is going to overshadow you. The Holy One is going to be called the Son of God. And then he gives additional proof. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. By the way, if you do not have verse 37 underlined in your Bible, please do so, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. No matter what situation you and I find ourselves, nothing is impossible with God. And then Mary responds. Can you imagine? How would you answer? You're going to be pregnant. By the way, your whole world is going to go turned upside down. We've talked about that one before. Everyone thinks, what a blessing to be chosen by God. Can you imagine? In that day and age, being pregnant, outside of marriage, in Matthew chapter 1, is so unhinged Joseph that even being a righteous man, he decided he was going to divorce her quietly, but he couldn't have any part in this until God came and spoke to him in a dream. You imagine what the neighbors said? And they did talk. They talked long and hard. Remember what the family, even family members talked. Mary, how could you? How would you explain? How do you go back to your father and say, I'm pregnant, God did it? How do you explain that? So here's Mary's answer. Mary, mature beyond her years. All of angel. One author says the angel Gabriel hoped that they didn't see his trembling underneath his garb as he waited for the 15-year-old girl to respond. And hear what she says. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. That's the answer that allows salvation. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. We believe in Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit. How? We don't know. Born of the Virgin Mary, miraculous event of an obedient, mature, godly young lady whose whole world got tossed up, but she willfully, gladly, and lovingly took on the mission. And she said, I will. That's what you and I believe in. That's what you and I stand for. Now, you and I have to live it. How do we do that? We let people see Jesus in what we do. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be momentous. It simply has to be continual. It has to be honoring of Christ, but it has to be showing Jesus in the little things that we do. It has to be showing His compassion, His love, His grace, His truth. When you leave here today, you are incarnating Jesus as you go. You are the only Jesus that people will see. You go out with the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, which you and I have been given, which you and I have been filled with. We have the gifts and this fruit of God's Spirit. So let us show Jesus. Because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Amen.